This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And it's state tournament time. A lot of action going on. We're going to have the latest on all the brackets, where the teams are playing, what time they're playing. A lot of stuff moved to next Thursday and Friday because of weather coming up. But a really exciting week for everybody that's still in it. And there's a lot of them, 11 teams locally still in it. And we're going to talk about each one of them. But we got to start with the C&G Paving Smooth Operator of the Week. And out at Madison County, she got them off to a really good start in this state tournament. Lindsay McDaniel with a big game for the Mountaineers.
Yeah, you know, in 4 at-bats, she gets 3 hits, 3 RBIs, and scores a run there herself. 10-0 for Madison over Amelia. And doing it sort of in that sort of 5-6-7 range in the order, having that run production there is huge because, I mean, Madison's got the girls to get on base between Cassie Smith, Bailey Smith, Sophie Adams, and all that. So having those hitters come through is huge for Madison, and watch them sort of blossom into an offensive team here late in the year. You're used to seeing most softball games at this point being 1-0, not 1-0-0. But that's what we have here, and as such, they keep moving on. Big day at the plate for her.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing really well. We're going to dive into them in a little bit. But Carter Spillman out at Western Almar Boys Soccer, he's got to be the other pick. Hat trick. He was named the Player of the Year in Region 3C. He gets a hat trick against Lord Botetourt in the Region 3C. No, not in the Region 3C. The state, Class 3 state. There's just been a lot of tournaments lately. I got to be honest. They're all starting to run together. Class 3 state quarterfinal. He picks up a really strong effort. 3 goals. They blew the doors off of Botetourt, 7-3. We're going to talk about them again in a second. But Carter Spillman, a guy who moved up from defense to striker this year for them to kind of help things out. Milo Oakland, the head coach at Western, says he plays a little bit unorthodox, and he thinks that helps. And he plays unorthodox because the guy's a defender, and he's up there up top, so he plays things a little interesting, but it's been working. He's been explosive lately, and he keeps it going with a hat trick against Botetourt as they move on to the state semifinals. But let's first start, let's get it out of the way. The two teams that are headed into next week now, rather than everything usually traditionally is done on Saturday, but now with rain coming in, we've already seen the Class 3 baseball and the Class 2 softball moving on down to Thursday, down in Salem and Radford. But Fluvanna baseball has to wait a little bit for their shot at getting past this level.
Yeah, I think for Fluvanna baseball and Madison softball here, the question is, does the break up any rhythm that you got into? I mean, you know, sort of in baseball, softball, you can get into a rhythm in your pitching rotations and stuff. I mean, it could be an amazing blessing too. You're going in fresh.
Yeah.
But we have seen teams that, you know, if they take a little time off, maybe there's a little bit of rust that develops, kind of thing. And there's also like an anxiety level of it. Like, I want to go out there and play this game and get this over with kind of thing. And now it's hurry up and wait, kind of mentality. But if Fluvanna baseball, I mean, they just 1-0 against Abington, big win, really tight scenario there. That's the style of baseball game that they were really used to winning last year. I feel like this year, a little more offensive explosion to the plate.
No doubt.
They show their colors, like, hey, we can still win that way. We can grind one out for you. But yeah, they just got too many dudes. That's what it comes down to. I mean, having Andrew Ward and Kevin Ward as the anchors of that rotation is huge. But I mean, from Ryan Groom to Jacob Kreitzer, all the way down the wards, there are no easy outs. There are productive at-bats 1-9 here. They don't even have to necessarily get on to be good.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Cameron Shields and Kyle Algieri up the middle. I mean, like, it's just a lot of guys who can really play. They play their role really well. Algieri's been, I think, no errors on the year at second base. I mean, like, yeah, they're playing really good baseball.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it with Broadway. I mean, they got into a little bit of a funk, and then in just one inning, it's just like, here's what happens when we all decide to play good to elite level of baseball all at once, and it's just sort of, you know, it's a tsunami And you know, they can dink and dunk, they can hit for power, they can, you know, hit and run, they can do a little bit of everything. They've got speed on the base paths. You know, it's just a very versatile group that you know, they showed a lot of promise last year, getting this far, and now they've realized it again this year. And so what you're seeing isn't just a group of talented players. Like, these guys win baseball games.
No question.
That's what they do.
Been winning them for a long time together, man. A lot of these guys have been playing together since travel ball in middle school. You know, it really impressive that they're back on top again. And, you know, it looks like it'd be another darn good year next year with both Wards back. And you know, they lose Kreitzer, who's a heck of a player. But whatever, we can get to that when the time comes. They still got possibly two more games. And that whole week of rest should give them the chance to use, if they want to, Andrew Ward in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. So it really maybe helps them out a lot. Madison softball, on the other hand, has got to wait. And I don't know if I'd want to be waiting if I'd thrown up a 10-0 victory in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, let's play two there. Yeah,
that's right. But teams are getting tougher. We all know that, you know, in this Final Four, they're probably going to have three other really good pitchers in addition to Emily Seal, who's been carrying the load for them. And I think that's a fact, and that's what they're going to run into when they finally get a chance to play on Thursday down at Radford. So Madison softball, though, man, Bailey Smith, she had the huge – got him into the state playoffs with the home run in the eighth inning against Buffalo Gap. And yeah, she's just been a heck of a player. And then Sophie Adams has been really good. I mean, just a ton. They've got the hitting. It seems to come up in key spots, like when they need it.
Yeah. I mean, this is an athletic club, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They, you know, all these girls can really fly on the base paths. And they like to sort of create uncomfortable situations for other teams. You know, you always want to find out in softball, like, what happens if the other team starts throwing the ball around a little bit. Sometimes it only takes one mistake, one throw over second on a steal to create a run. And, you know, you got Seal, who's dialed in. You give her one run, maybe two, maybe that's all she needs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Madison's got they've got the girls to be able to pull that off. I mean, this is the same as Fluvanna. I'd argue that this group has more experience. I mean, this group of seniors as sophomores won a state title. So they know the road, and obviously they've got back into the state tournament. It's a big deal for them. This group of seniors wants to go out as winners, but there's a lot of other young players involved in the mix. With both baseball and softball, you almost wonder, like, what's the situational hitting going to be? Who's going to be the random person, whether it's a pinch hitter or what is it? Who's going to provide the heroics? You know, in Madison's case, does an Emily Price come off the bench and get a big base knock? Who knows? But that's the fun of what's going on. And this team is, I describe sort of Madison softball when they're in the game, is pretty remarkably calm.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell if they're having fun or if they're just like going about their business. Afterwards, totally different story, but just within
on the
game,
bus ride down with the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
How about that? Yeah,
the cardboard cutout.
316.
Today, I saw where they're headed out for state, probably on the way back now after getting on the road, but now they're rocking. They got Stone Cold. They also got cowboy hats. I mean, like, that is a group that has fun, but they're all business when they get on the
field. Yeah, there's just some teams can do that, just sort of flip the switch. And that's sort of, I think, the definition of a competitor, and this team's full of them. So yeah, it should be fun going forward. They're used to that road trip heading down there. That's sort of like Madison's home away from home. So let's see how they do.
Yeah. Flipping on, you know, we're going to dive into soccer in a second because there's a lot of soccer teams.
All the soccer teams
are in. But let's talk tennis real quick. Western boys and Western girls are back in the saddle again. They're playing for a state title. We're used to these two programs getting a shot at a chance at a state title. Western boys going for their third straight. Western girls are you know, back in the final after falling in the semifinals in a marathon match last year. Now they're back in the final. They get another shot at a title with Corinne Jennings as the number one. But they've been playing really well. The whole ladder is really stepping up. And the win over Abington was huge in the semifinals. That was a team that, you know, it may have been the second best team that they run into. May have been the best team they run into going forward. And now they play James Monroe. They get a shot against them. And if things play to 10, we could be seeing a double championship there from the Western girls and the Western boys. The boys, Alex Hicks, Gavin Seagraves, and are up top. And then down below is just a ton of kids who can really play that have been there for a long time. They keep getting it done. And you know, then they also have some freshmen that are popping into the mix and really coming up with big wins. Even when they sub in, the other day they had to sub in a guy at three, and he gets the win anyway. I mean, it doesn't really matter. And I think he won 6-0, 6-0.
Yeah, and that's why I think earlier on in a couple podcasts, you know, if you're going to place a safe bet for who's coming home with a state title, maybe you take Western Tennis.
Western Boys Tennis, I feel like, is the lock. Yeah, I think that they're a lock, and they got a few feeling really great. They put in the work to get this done, and now they get a chance to pull it off and finish the coronation of Western Boys Tennis. So very exciting for them. A group that's been together is back together in large part back together this year. Lost a couple of starters from last year, but they'll play. I think it looks like they're going to be playing indoors because of the rain, but it looks like they'll still get that in on Saturday. So just a little bit later in the day, but that brings us to soccer and noted soccer experts, Ryan Eamon and Bart Isley. It's just a lot of soccer. This is a ton of teams that got in. Central Virginia is responsible for 3/4 of the Class 3 state tournament on the girls' side. Throw in the Western Boys, and it's 4 teams just in Class 3 alone. And then you got the Almar girls who are headed over to Glen Allen trying to get a state title in Class 5. It's absurd.
Yeah, I think the way it sort of played out early in the season, it wouldn't be an impossibility to have both Monticello and Western coming through. And then Monroe comes along and makes things interesting. You know, and that's a group that has been flirting with
being right on the edge.
Yeah,
right on the edge.
For about the better part of four years now,
I think that's
going
fair,
back
yeah.
to the Rachel DeMasters days.
Yeah.
So Monroe comes in there, and that's kind of cool because while locally, like, a lot of these kids have played against each other, I mean, Monroe does not have a history with Monticello and Western and girls soccer. So kind of neat to have them throw their hat into the mix. And obviously, they've been through some drama to get there, winning in PKs. I think it was 8 of them.
Yeah, 8 PKs against Tab, a team that, like, you know, honestly, like, if you looked at it on paper, it felt like, okay, that's a really tough matchup for them. Tough to go all the way on the road. Tough to get it done. I think, you know, we've talked about this before, and I hear coaches say it all the time, that sometimes youth is a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, sometimes if you don't understand the stage,
yeah,
it can be awesome.
Particularly for the girls team, because that's definitely true for Albemarle too when we get to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you look at the way that Sydney Dombrowski is playing as a sophomore.
Yeah.
And it's
a freshman keeper. Another freshman forward, freshman, like, all over the place. They do have some great seniors, but yeah, they're playing really well, these young kids.
Yeah, and in Dombrowski's case, it really doesn't matter what year classification she has on. You're like, that's the best player on the field.
Yeah.
So what do we do to sort of stop her? And Monroe's had a nice job of having different girls sort of chip in, because obviously defensively you're going to just throw all your focus on her, and she still finds a way to beast through.
Yeah.
But yeah, really cool. And then, I mean, Western has been so dominant for so long with the Bergs. It's just great group. And then Monticello is pretty cool. I mean, they were in that region final against Western last year. They do it again this year.
Yeah.
And then come out with a win. Like, that was just, I mean, a big sort of stepping stone for them to show that they can do this on this level.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible group of players. A lot of these players play together in the travel circuit or have run into each other, facing each other. So there's a lot of familiarity between a lot of these kids. And like you said, Dombrowski at William Monroe has been awesome. But Anna Baker has been really good. Stacey Calderon Castillo has been really good. Olivia Benghelli has been really good. Molly Earle had the PK to win it. Sharf, the freshman keeper, is apparently just a relentless workhorse. She's always putting in the time. So you put that group together, they've got a pretty, you know, solid group. Monticello's been building this for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to compete on this level. They've been playing a style that would allow them to get into this. They've been, you know, employing the kind of tactics, the kind of approach that would allow them to get into this mix, to enter into that echelon with Western and Albemarle. And they found a way to do that. It's been amazing. Cammie Hoke and Kayla Burton and Macy Drumheller. I mean, they got players kind of all throughout, really good, solid players that do their job, and they take care of business. Kayla Burton with the big goal to get them into this one. So then you look at the Western girls, like you said, the Bergs, Ellie Cox, Aaron Meyer. They've got players all over. Bailey Wood as the keeper. They've got players kind of all over the board that can really kind of get things done. They're really dynamic. And when either of the Bergs get loose, man, they are fast. Those kids were really decorated track kids for a reason. They can run. And when they get out in front of you, they run. They're very skilled, and it's trouble. So,
Western, always home of the middle distance champions.
That's right, yes. I mean, they've got it going on, and I think it'll be interesting to see how William Monroe kind of handles that top-end speed. And it's also going to be interesting to see how Western's defense handles Dombrowski. You know, it's the first time we get a chance to see her against a bunch of local kids that we know, elite defenders that we know. So it's going to be fun to watch. And you got to think that Kate DeJong is going to play a role in that. She's been a tremendous defender for several years for Western. So exciting to see kind of how that's all going to play out. And then, that leaves us with the Almar girls, too. I mean, it's they're back in it.
Maybe they got here a year early.
Definitely. It feels like that. Yeah.
They were pretty jacked up in their region final with Mountain View. I thought the sort of post-game huddle was pretty cool. Just sort of talking about people didn't expect us to get here, and now here we are, and we've shut everybody up.
That's true.
And so there's just kind of like it's not so much a cockiness, but like a swagger to this Albemarle girls team that, is mostly composed of underclassmen. Like real underclassmen, like freshman, sophomore kind.
That's right.
So here we go. I mean, that was a team last year that felt like that was a pretty good job they did to get into the Final Four. For them to be able to do that again with this group having lost what they lost, like, wow.
Yeah.
Why stop here? And they're going to keep playing with that little chip on their shoulder, an underdog mentality. We talked about earlier the youth, like maybe young is good. It certainly looked good against Mountain View. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it looked really good in that state quarterfinal too. When Madeline St. Amant came up with the huge goal for the equalizer, and then she's the one who forced the issue to a combination of her and Savannah Alexander. Savannah Alexander, by the way, has emerged as probably the area's best center midfielder.
She's got like a Brooke Bauman quality to her.
Yeah, she creates, man. She creates, and she really, she makes things happen. They were really good tactically against that team. And if you can get it out in front to St. Amant or Cora Jillians on the other side, that's a lot of speed up top.
Those two in particular, Madeline and Cora, their footwork is insane. If you haven't seen it, they've got dirty dangles. When it comes to, I mean, they can stop on a dime, and you just sort of see ankles being broken defensively. And their crowd does a great job of getting into it and sort of promoting that sort of style of soccer. That's what they want to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tremendous to see them in there, and it's just fun to see all those girls teams get in there. But then we got two boys teams. I mean, the Western boys and the CHS boys, both in the semifinals. Two teams coming out of the JD. And it's just fun to see, like you said, you talked about the crowds. Man, CHS's crowd has just been in it lately. I mean, they've been fired up. That may get neutralized a little bit with all this rain we got coming in. Who knows? But CHS has had tremendous fan support. They've been really engaged. There's a lot of fun, especially when the kids are coming down the left side. That's just been a lot of fun to watch happen. And the CHS boys, man, a tough challenge anytime you're trying to win in that Class 4 grouping. But they've got the horses to do it right now.
Yeah, I mean, you look at guys like Joe Von Story, who've been doing this for a long time and have been involved in the run that they made a couple years ago into that state final.
And Kyle Leonard, man, he was a huge defender on that state that team that ended up a state runner-up.
And that's sort of like you go back to that, I mean, even just sort of the year before in 2016, when they're winning games without their coach. He was dealing with a family issue there. The Charlottesville sort of became a soccer school in those years and sort of developed this following and this brand of soccer that's just really fun to watch. I mean, they're a physical group. They get dirty. they don't mind responding to the same type of play being thrown at them. So
that's right.
It's just kind of a fun sort of just lower your shoulder kind of style of soccer.
I have watched Ayat Mohamed get dragged down more than maybe any soccer player that I've watched over the years. I mean, the guy, it is almost constant that someone is trying to pull on his jersey and get him on the ground. And that's the thing. Is that, like, I think teams have looked at Ayat and said, like, okay, that's the guy we got to stop. That's the speed up top. The problem with that is that Von Storch is incredibly fast on the other side. He can really move and up top. And so if you try and take down and shut down Mohamed, he's going to find a way to get it to his guys. If it's Leonard in the middle, who's been – he has gone from incredible defender to just – unstoppable all-around guy, and he can come up with things. Adam Moreland can come up and make plays in the midfield as well.
Brickhouse as well, yeah.
Oh, Brickhouse, tremendous player. I mean, they've got guys on guys, and they keep, you know, and then they can get big plays from guys off the bench, like the game-winning goal from Kondo. Just a tremendous, tremendous team, tremendous bench. Just an all-around, it's a really good squad, and it's going to be interesting to see kind of how they handle the chance that, you know, Leonard talked about that, like, this isn't the same team, and they don't have the same mentality, that it's a very different approach, and, you know, he's the leader. He's speaking for them. You know, if that's coming from him, that's coming from that whole group, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this stage, because they've been pretty darn good so far.
Yeah, absolutely, and, I mean, I think the real winner out of all of this, and throwing the Western boys here in a second, but I mean, if you're a youth level coach and you're getting to see this is the results at the high school level, something is working in this area to produce this much talent. And because we're not talking about one dude just sort of carrying a squad or one girl. This is a situation where we have overall team depth that's just sort of shining through, and that's just, I mean, that's absolutely what you want to see. I mean, that's how you win state titles. But yeah, it's just it's pretty cool to see this wave of talent, and maybe this is sort of a sign of the sport itself within this community sort of taking that next step, and soccer is becoming sort of more of to the forefront of sports. I mean, is this a lacrosse area? Is this a baseball area? What do we sort of define Central Virginia as?
I think it goes in waves, man. It kind of changes, and right now,
certainly with this age group, soccer is a thing.
Is it? I mean, it is it, and we're just seeing tremendous play. I mean, when you get somebody like the Weaverville girls stepping up, I mean, that says a lot. I actually know one of these guys who is a youth coach, and I gave him a hard time about how he's making us do too much work by producing good players the other day. It's unbelievable, man. We got too many games to cover. It's just, yeah, it's becoming really difficult.
And perhaps no program has been more consistent about that on the boys' level than the Western boys. Oh, I mean, so
hard to argue, man. I mean,
they come into this tournament as pretty, I mean, I wouldn't say heavy favorites, but
heavy favorites based on the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, this team is just has gone, like, if you had told me when they lost like 5-0 to Charlottesville at Charlottesville that, like, oh, this is a team that's about to make a run, I would have thought you were crazy. I mean, they were down a couple of guys, no question about it, but, like, they just looked out of sorts. They looked disorganized. They were just getting shelled by Von Storch. And, you know, with his speed up top, was just giving them all kinds of fits. And then Western has just turned it on. Carter Spielman has been a man on fire. He's been pouring in the goals. Gabe Nossinger is...
That's a guy, I'm like, every year, for the last 2 years, you see him on the roster, like, didn't he graduate? Like, he's
Which
just been playing
that?
Gabe Nossinger. It's like one of those guys he's been playing since he was a freshman. So you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, he's still on the squad. I mean, that guy is a yeoman veteran. Like, just...
whether it's basketball, player, whether it's soccer, Knopfinger's always involved.
We know he's a senior. We know...
For sure he's a senior. But Clay Bright, I mean, he's been playing really well. They've got multiple defenders that have stepped up. And their wild card, really, is that they have one of the best guys at just stopping shots at keeper in Jack Frey. I mean, the guy... We know what he did when he stopped five. Like, I've never seen a keeper, and we've talked about this before, but I've never seen a keeper blank a team, stop five straight shots in PKs. That's one of the craziest feats I've ever seen personally. That was last year in the region tournament. Like, just a bonkers performance.
And he was the goalie the year before. So you talk about sort of experience and seeing, like,
the amount of
playoff games that Western's played in. I mean, these guys have just seen so much soccer thrown at them. And when you have that experience at goalie, that changes the game. There's a psychological battle that goes on once you go to PKs.
Yeah, and if they get into it, I'd feel pretty darn confident having Jack Frey back there, no question about it. And with their scores, like the array of guys who can put it in for them, I mean, Western's just been tearing it up. They've gotten really – they've really shored things up defensively. That's what Nofsinger keeps talking about. They've just figured that out defensively. Gave up some cheapies against Botetourt, but in a 7-3 win, that's going to happen. They had a lot of reserves in there. They were resting guys because they're getting ready for this thing because they're going to be fired up because nobody – there's a lot of teams that look like Western Girls Lacrosse is another good example. They're playing for a state title on Saturday too, and they're a team that, that peaked at the right time. But I tell you, that, that Western boys soccer team might be the team that peaked, and like it was just overnight. They kind of transformed things and got it going. So the last team we got to talk about is Western Girls Lacrosse. They're going to be playing for a state title on Saturday in Salem. Again, another team like we just talked about with the Western boys soccer team. They got going right at the right time. They lost to Monticello. It felt like they were playing Monticello like every three games for a little while there. And they kind of peaked at the right time. They could have faced Monticello again, but Monticello drops it to Hidden Valley. And then they put together this incredible defensive performance. Annie Meenan, a name we know from basketball, where she's a top-notch defender, came up really big for them in that. Catherine Thomas, the keeper, with a really big performance. And I think that when you look across the board, that team just peaked at the right time. They got things going. They're playing really well. They're locked in defensively. Now they got to face a Dominion squad that's going to be tough. It's going to be a step up in competition. But they've really, you know, done a nice job of bouncing back from a loss to Monticello early in the season, a loss to Monticello in the region tournament, and then to get it going in such a big way, man, it's just really exciting.
Yeah, you look at what was an 8-1 lead in that game at halftime. I mean, that's a team coming out ready.
Yeah.
I mean, if you play at that level early on in a lacrosse game, and you feel just feel like you can sort of suck the life out of the other team and really take the wind out of their sails.
The offense was cranking, man. They were just rolling, and the defense, like, and again, they didn't have a huge draw control advantage. I wrote about this, but, like, not a huge draw control advantage, but still, the defense just kept coming up with stop after stop after stop.
You hold really a team big at that level to 5 goals. I haven't seen it very often.
Unless the pace of the play was just like way bogged down, and that wasn't the case here. They were just making stops and really controlling things. So really exciting to see, again, ton of teams in these playoffs, ton of locals getting a chance to play for a ring. And we'll be back with you next week to talk about who got it done and who finished it off.